Our scripture for this morning is from Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 16 through 20. And this is probably one you've never heard before. No, this is a great familiar passage. And it says a lot to us. We need to really pay attention to this one. Matthew 28:16, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Well, this is indeed the last Sunday that we're privileged to join as a church in fellowship and worship in the year 2020. And coming to the end of a calendar year is always a special time. And so I would ask, would you say this particular year ending is very special? Yes, I think we would all chime in and say, "Oh, it was special, all right." As a matter of fact, to call it a special year that we're closing out, even to call it a very, very special year, is pretty much an understatement. We all know that just in virtually a couple of days, it will be the last hours of 2020. We will be so relieved as we look back on 2020 as the past. But the truth is, as it's always true in some regards, we just never come to the end of any year without reflecting on the past. So it's not unusual that we're going to talk about the past. Well, another truth is, we pretty much always need to reflect on the past as experience that we can and that we should learn from. Well, that said, we are also at a very real time now as we usher out all of the time and the events and the gains and the losses of the past 12 months. We're at an opportune time to look forward, taking what we have learned and what we have grown with and projecting our thoughts and our hopes and our plans into the incoming year with hope for what it holds for us. Well, let me tell you something I believe you know, but we need to remember this as clearly as we see crystal. We, you and I, every Christian person living on this God-created and sustained planet Earth, have a tremendous advantage. We have a tremendous advantage over the whole rest of the world, over every living person on Earth in these last few days of 2020. As we live into 2021, we have an earth-shaking advantage over every living person today who has not yet taken Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as their Savior and their Lord. Well, I know that was a very long sentence. It was a long one to say how privileged we are as the Christian family of God. But you know, it's true. It's really true. This basic and life-altering privilege, folks, listen and say amen. Say amen, hallelujah. You see, whether we reflect on the past or project into the future, because of our saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we can always, always be assured of God's presence with us. You know, we talked several times over the Christmas days about Emmanuel, God with us. And He is. He's with each of His children always. He's with us one by one. He's with us just on a personal basis. And He's with us, as Jesus said, to the end of the age. And you don't probably need much of this, but I'm going to define some words that we're going to be thinking about this morning. This morning I'm using the word retrospective to define looking backward. And for this hour, this will be retrospect, that is just on a year that's coming to a close. And there's some words in that deal with the physical and the psychological aspects of our lives. Paul was pretty smart, even more so from our benefit. He was God-led, and he uses the word forget. Philippians 3:13. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. As an inspired writer of God's Word, he said to forget those things which are behind, to make your remembrance, your reflections on the past fruitful and helpful to you for your personal life. Forgetting must be thought of not just in one way, but in two ways. Forgetting positively and forgetting negatively. The thought here of things that are bad is to forget them. That's what we forget, the things that are bad. It's over. It's the past that you cannot exactly relive. It's done and it's gone. And I think I can unequivocally say every person needs to forget the past unpleasantries and unhappinesses. Such experiences as defeat and disappointment and guilt are things that should be forgotten. Absolutely. Because that of the past should not be relived. It should not be rekindled. You see, what was unpleasant or unhappy for you is because it's because you were a part of it. Somehow you were involved in it, either physically or in your mental perception of it, but you were in it. So how do you get yourself out of it? Well, that can absolutely be done by telling Jesus what happened and how you were a part of it. It's called confession. And Jesus forgives and cleanses. I know you remember 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So here's what I mean. If you think of a situation that made you unhappy, or if it was unpleasant for you and you're still unhappy remembering it because of no fault of your own, that's the problem. You're the problem. For you, you are. And this is, for you in a case like that, for any Christian in a case like that, if that's what's happening, you're log-jammed in pride and egotism. You, and I'm saying that for all of us, that's me, you, we need to forget. We need to dismiss, we need to put out of our minds attitudes that make for personal pride that will not allow us to forgive and forget. Another verse that you're very familiar with, Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. It goes before a fall. But also helpful as we seek to be retrospective about 2020, about some of the special blessings that we've had that we need to put emphasis on, is a specific focus on the word remember. Remember is a word that is used many, many times in the Bible. To make the past mean something positive and productive for us, it is necessary to remember that we are dependent on God for all that He has and all that He is, and recall that we are blessed with those good things and those positive ideas from our past. That's what we remember. And forget all the rest of that stuff. Just remember that. The Bible that we've relied on and been blessed by in the past, and that same Bible that now continues to bless us with the same, we are to remember as it tells us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. That's James 1:17. Another word that ought to be prevailing in the minds of us as we reflect on the past is learn. On almost all honest or intelligent persons learn from mistakes. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can actually learn from bad past. Amen. Amen. We can also learn from good past, from achievements, and grow by that learning, using those lessons to build the future. Well, there's some other words that apply to the spiritual aspects of our lives. Reflecting with remembrance on God's dealing with us since the past, when we accepted the Christ who gave his life as the only needed ransom for our sins, will cause us at all times to stand in awe. A very short little word, but awe is a great word. We're amazed when we come to realize how sinful we really are, and how merciful and how long-suffering the Lord is toward us. Yes, we do continue in our human trait of weakness toward sin, but God continues to forgive our sin. Isn't that awesome? Then that awe, as we have it, leads us to repentance. Conscientious people will turn from a wicked way after reflecting on past sin. To behold our sinfulness and to realize in awe God's goodness in our past and promise for our future will provoke in us repentance. And one of the greatest words in the Christian's vocabulary is forgiveness. Amen. The Bible assures every sinner of forgiveness when we confess our sins. I remind you of some of those words I just repeated a while ago from 1 John 1:9. If we confess, he is faithful, just, forgives, purifies us. It is indeed a spiritually healthy experience to retrospectively remember over and over again that in Christ we are forgiven of all of our sins. And we are to remember, if any of us in our memories of the past have followed God's lead, we are to remember to forgive. Jesus prayed this, "Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." In words of today, I think that would probably read, "Forgive me, God, for sinning against you. Forgive me as I forgive others for the things that they have done wrong to me, as I have forgiven." Yes. Seriously affecting God's forgiveness that's given to us are these other words from Jesus in a parable that he told on withholding forgiveness. The king could not forgive one who had done wrong. He said, "So also my heavenly Father will do to you. Every one of you who forgives his brother their trespasses from your heart." It's in Matthew chapter 18. That's the whole idea of how we're to deal with our year of 2020, what we are to dismiss as past and what we are to remember of the past can be and should be related to our relationship with God. God in Christ can and will take every negative of the past year and make it disappear through his goodness. He can likewise take every positive of the past year and add to it as he brings back to our remembrance his goodness. A second word, perspective. Perspective is, as if you looked at the sermon title, retrospective perspective. The word perspective is defined as projecting one's thought into the future, moving positively toward this coming year, counting on God's gracious and merciful provision for us. And there's some helpful words that apply to the physical of this. The word vision looms real high in our minds when we think of the future. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And this applies to us as individuals, and it applies to us as a church and all of the churches that honor Jesus Christ. Yeah, it would be natural and obvious that spiritual vision would be blessed in the eyes of God, but also the physical vision. It applies to what we do as well as what we think. Mm-hmm. What do we wish for? What do we wish for? What do we envision for the physical status of our church for this next year? Can we envision growth? One word that is prevalent in the minds of many on the eve of the new year is resolution. It seems that everyone thinks about it. Everyone talks about New Year's resolutions. Not just Christians, everyone talks about that. Well, that's okay, but we as God's church are called to move forward, to grow. That's a proper perspective for Christians, is to resolve to grow. That is a great resolution. That word implies purpose. For adequate plans for growth to be made and for motivation to expedite them, there must be a defined purpose, not just a haziness out there or indifference. A defined purpose, a plan. And closely related to resolution is the word determination. This puts firmness into resolution. Before much can be accomplished in this next year of 2021, resolved determination is going to be necessary, individually and as a church. This will involve specific things like planning and work and sacrifice and dedication. But to be truthfully successful in this coming year, we must feed into our subconscious, into an underlying way of thinking, the thought, a plan for victory. I know if it's just up to us, we may not be very sure of that. We're just a little old Boskydale Baptist Church, and this pandemic stuff of these months dragging on and on, well, you know, just look around. I don't want you to look too far. You might see an empty pew. We're just not who we were as a church 30 and 40 years ago. We're just not. My friends, that is nothing but a negative perspective. I'm sorry. If we really get caught up thinking that, well, envisioning that as our possible future, it's just going to be this way. We've lost sight of the power of God empowering people. The Christian religion is a triumphant, victorious religion. Jesus came to triumph, to win over evil. And he is victorious, and his followers have that same assurance. We can be victorious. We must have that perspective that we are his people. And I would apply some words to the spiritual realm that are applicable to a positive perspective attitude. Paul told the church, so we ought to be listening to this, be filled with the Spirit. He told that to the Ephesian church. Be filled with the Spirit. This means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and is a must for any great accomplishment in kingdom work or for personal enhancement. Paul also told the church, this one, he told to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Well, I get my real inspiration from the Bible, but I recently read this from another Christian writer, not Paul, but a good American Baptist author who wrote this several years ago. Bruce Mills, in his book, Help in Troubled Times, wrote, and you kind of envision this, prayer is like a vast continent, the shores of which can touch one can touch from many directions, but a lifetime of exploration will not reveal all of its secrets. It's just too big. There's too many things to pray for. Prayer is too strong. Prayer takes on the perspective of eternity, and as such is also a must to make the incoming year of 2021 a fruitful one for what I'd really like to call us. I got some books that actually have this in the title, for what could be called prayer warriors. Pray for obedience to the will of God. Pray that on your own. And we must pray for that as His church. It should be one of our greatest desires for the next year. Whatever He says, we're to do. Wherever He leads, we are to follow. Complete obedience to the will of God revealed for us is our assurance of a full and meaningful life as people and as a church family. Amen. Amen. So look back, look ahead. There's a word that stands in between retrospective and perspective. And that word is now. Now is between the past and the future. In order to use the past and anticipate the future, we need to act now. The past is gone, the future is yet to come. We must learn our lessons from the past and start trying now to be ready for the future. God has spoken in the past and has worked in the past, but He also has plans for us out there in the future. So now, not waiting until tomorrow, now is the time for us to respond to the touch of His Holy Spirit. And so as you reflect on this past year, do this. Focus on God's bountiful goodness to you. Give Him your thanks. And as you look forward to this year just ahead, 2021, surrender your life to Him anew. It's a good thing to do every day. Place your hand in His nail-scarred hand, and with Christ-led resolution, say out loud, and I'm going to ask you to repeat this after I say it. Lead on, O King Eternal. Lead on, O King Eternal. Amen. Amen.